Praise God. Well, welcome to Wednesday night training in the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you can see, Apostle is not here tonight, but business goes on as usual. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here at Word of Life Christian Center, God has developed and trained us to do the work of the ministry, and that's so very important. So I'm going to get into a word of prayer while you're standing, and then we're going to get right into the word, and we're just going to thank God that he put a blessing upon his word and that everybody receive what God has for you tonight. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this apostolic mantle that's on this ministry. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and the first family, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you graced them, Lord God. Hallelujah. And you blessed them, Lord God. Hallelujah. With every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that we follow closely our man of God, and that, Lord God, we receive everything, Lord God, that the apostolic has for us to receive, and that we're going to fall short of no good thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, I think it was probably Monday evening. I had just drove in. I was coming in my driveway. My wife and I went to get us something to eat. I get the call from Reverend Montrell. Brother Calhoun, Apostle said you got it Wednesday. I said, okay. He said, if you need anything, give me a call. Boop. You know, but I mean, I'm used to that. You know, earlier that day in my spirit, it's kind of like, you know, be prepared. You just never know. You never know. One of the things Apostle has taught us as ministers is to always be ready. Always be ready, you know, because you never know when God is going to call, and it is an assignment that you have to be to take part of. So I said, praise God. But what we're going to be talking about today, you know, and I thank God that we just came off of a great, awesome camp meeting. I mean, that was off the chain, you know, in another level. And the thing about it is, you know, especially that Thursday night, it was just so sweatless. You know, in 70 minutes, 1.6 million and some change, you know. You know, I don't, it might be close to 1.7. I don't know, but I know it's at least 1.6 and some change. And one of the things you need to understand and recognize that your seed is in there. And so you can believe God for $1.6 million and some change seed, because it was a corporate. It was a corporate seed, just like you can have a corporate anointing. When you have a corporate anointing, everybody's pulling together, and the anointing is stronger. So now your seed, you know, whatever you sowed is in that 1.6 and change. So that's it. Lord, I thank you for a 1.6 million and change harvest. Praise God. Because I was a part of that collective seed. And that's really one of the things we're going to talk about today is how to partake and how to receive from the apostolic grace that's on Apostle's life. How to partake. That word partake means to share in. I looked it up. Well, I asked Alexa, what does partake mean? She said it means to share in, you know, with the group. So how to share in with everybody and to partake and to receive of the grace that's on Apostle's life. And so what I want to start off to do, I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And I'm going to read it in not only the King James, but also possibly I'm going to read it in the Passion. So if you can on the screen, you can just go ahead and put it in the Passion translation. So everybody, because not everybody's going to have access to the Passion. I brought my Kindle so that I can look at both of them simultaneously. But Apostle had been studying and reading from the Passion Bible. And one thing I do, I try to follow suit. So I started looking at the Passion. And it's just a blessing. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11 in the Passion says, and he had appointed some with the grace to be apostles, and some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors. pastors and some with the grace to be teachers. I'm going to pause there for a second. You know, there's an apostolic grace on each and every part of the fivefold ministry gifts. It's a special grace, a special endowment, a special anointing that God blesses the men that he has chosen to operate in these gifts. And I like the way that the Passion Bible uses the word grace, because we you know, apostles been ministering on grace, stating that grace means that, you know, everything's already paid for, everything is already yours, you know, and grace, you know, God's grace and God's goodness is what makes everything happen the way it does. Amen. So anyway, let me move on. It says in verse 12, and their calling is to nurture. That word nurture means to mature, and to prepare all the holy believers to do their own work of ministry. As they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. See, God wants us to build up, to enlarge, to edify the body of Christ. That's our job, is to do that. And apostles been teaching on, you know, when the apostolic is in place, which is the head, you know, apostle, he's first in order, first in rank. And when that apostolic gift is functioning and flowing, well, then every other gift now kind of like tag teams off of the apostolic. You know, one thing I'll share with you, you're not going to hear nothing new tonight. No new revelation. If you came to listen to a new revelation, you came the wrong night, because all I'm going to do is reinforce and undergird what apostle has already taught us. You know, I'm going to just say it like it's coming in my spirit. I ain't stupid. You know, I know what apostle has taught and trained, and I'm going to stay in that vein, you know, and that's so very important, because, you know, there's so much that God wants to give us. And a lot of times we think we know it already, but sometimes we let things slip. I know several years ago I ministered from this pulpit, and my subject was don't let what you have heard from the man of God slip. You know, you need to go back and rehash those things. Okay, let me move on. Let me go back verse 12 again. And their calling is to nurture and to prepare all the holy believers to do their own work of ministry. As they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries, as here in the Passion Bible, it calls them grace ministry, will function until we all obtain oneness into the faith, and until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one unto a perfect or a mature man with the full dimensions and spiritual maturity, that word maturity, and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. One of the first key points I'm going to point out to you in a second has to do with that word maturity, and where it says here, and the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. You know, one of the apostles' desire is that for us to mature, to grow up in Christ in all things, you know, to where we don't have to call him when we have a problem. He doesn't have to lay hands on us, or we can lay hands on ourselves. We can believe God for our, you know, and to the point where now we don't even need to lay hands on ourselves. We don't need to, we're laying hands on other people. We're seeing other people get out of wheelchairs. We're seeing other people get delivered from demonic attack. I mean, his desire is to train us to the point where, you know, we can do the work of the ministry. You know, you got to see yourself doing the work of the ministry. Amen. You know, not just always receiving, but going out, you know, like Jesus took his disciples, went them out by twos, you know, but the good thing, and the thing I want to point out, they were always sent. They didn't went, they were sent. You know, one of the things I've learned, if there's a situation, I remember there was one situation that happened at church where a member was under attack, and they brought him to the hospital. And I was leaving in my car right after church, and part of me wanted to go and check on him, but I'm not going unless I get word from apostle and I'm sent out to go and to minister to him. And so before I drove off in my car, I checked my phone. I had a text from Reverend Montreal, apostle wants you to go to the hospital and check on brother so-and-so. I said, okay, that means now I'm not operating in my own ability. I'm not operating in my own event. I've been sent. So now I'm empowered with the grace, the apostolic grace that's on my apostle to do the work of the ministry. That's so very important. That is so, so very important. Okay, let's look at some other aspects. I want to keep my eye on that clock. That clock, and I'm good. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you so much. An apostle structures heaven to earth government. You heard that before. So I say it won't be nothing new. An apostle structures heaven to earth government. Amen. So that all that enter in that grace can receive and benefit. Amen. Okay. An apostle is a pace setter, a pathfinder, a pioneer. You know, they go out and they set the atmosphere up. They change the atmosphere to where now it's a spiritual atmosphere, where the atmosphere is conducive for the Holy Spirit to move. You know, we've heard the expression a heaven to earth connection, where the angels ascending and descending from heaven, going up with the request, coming down with the blessing, going up with the request, coming down with the blessing. You know, but it takes apostolic government to set that up properly. It takes an apostle who has, you know, the ear of God, where he's praying and the portals of the supernatural are open. And so now God is able to bless those who enter in and who connect properly and who submit properly. You know, what I'm going to be talking about is going to have a lot to do with connection, submission, and obeying the man of God's instructions. Because, yeah, all that's set up for us, but there's a part that we have to play. We have to make sure that we got all of our ducks in a row, so that when God is ready to bless us, we're ready to receive. Amen. We're mature, you know, and we're not gonna get the blessings and then go in our own merry way, you know. But we're gonna stay connected. That's so very important. Amen. All right. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything here. All right. We need to know how to properly partake of and receive from the apostolic grace that's on apostle. I'm going to say that again. We need to know how to properly partake or share in of the grace and receive that apostolic grace that's on apostle. And we know grace means that it has already been done. It's already ours, you know. But we are to now learn how to facilitate and how to enhance the process of receiving that grace. Amen? Okay. Apostle Thompson has an apostolic grace upon his life. We need to know how to tap into that grace properly. Amen? And what I'm going to do now is begin to give you 7 or 8 pointers of how we can properly tap into that grace. Amen. Like I said, there's nothing that you never heard before, but it's I just put everything going back, looking at notes and things apostles said in the past and things it was just in my heart that I know needed to be done so we can partake of the grace that's on his life, the blessing that's on his life. Amen. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. Well, actually, my first point is going to bring that up. That first point or principle or step, whatever you want to call it, know your apostle's heart. Know your man of God's heart. Know his heart. You know Apostle Thompson's heart. Ask God, Lord, show me my man of God's heart. Because when you know his heart, you know what motivates him, what motors him, what drives him, and why he does the things he do as an apostle. And when you know that, you could commit and you could serve better because you see the genuineness that's in the sincerity and the sincerity and the drive and the ambition to fulfill the agenda of God. His desire is to fulfill the agenda of God. Amen. I can remember years ago, this was before he actually accepted the call of an apostle and even a prophet. He was more or less a pastor and a teacher at that time. This might have been 15, 17, 18 years ago. But I was at a Kenneth Hagin either all faith, I think it was an all faith crusade, and it was in Birmingham, Alabama. I never forget it. And I had a friend of mine who was a young pastor in Birmingham. And when I went to the meeting, I never forget, I was standing at the book table, and an apostle stood behind me for a few seconds, and I could sense his presence because that anointing is just tangible. And he said, "Greg, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing well, apostle. How you doing?" He said, "Yeah, this is how you get it. You go where the anointing is being poured out, and you come to receive." I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you. I got that." And I said, "Apostle, I got a friend of mine who lives in the city, and I want you to you know, if you get a chance, I want you to just kind of talk with him. He's got a young ministry, a growing fast ministry, you know, but I don't know if he has a spiritual father yet." He said, "Apostle, say, yeah, sure. If you see me after service, and I'll talk to him." I said, "Okay." And we were just happened to be all at a restaurant. I think it was Jay Alexander's. And Apostle was there with several other ministers. And I got to be careful how I say this. These are some prominent ministers, you know, from all over the United States. They were all sitting at a table, about six or seven of them. Apostle was sitting down. Apostle was doing most of the talk, and I never forget. And one of the ministers, a guy out of Florida, they didn't have enough chairs for him. So he just sat at the feet of Apostle, sitting on the floor, listening to Apostle, you know. And I'm looking at this, and I'm there with my friend, and I said, "Well, he's there with all his minister friends. He may not have time to talk." But I said, "Once we finish eating, we'll walk by the table." And I said, "Hey, Apostle, how you doing?" And then I said, "This is the friend that I wanted to, you know, introduce you to." So we did. I said, "Apostle, how you doing?" He said, "Hey, Greg, hi." I said, "This is the young man I was telling you about." He stood up, shook his hand. He said, "Greg tells me you got a young, growing ministry." He said, "Yeah." Then he began to minister into his heart. And that's something I'll never forget. He said, "You don't want to build your ministry from the big guns from out of town. You don't want to build your ministry on talented people. You want to build your ministry strictly on the word of God." And he says, in those early years, they need to see you. They don't need to see, ministers coming in. Your people need to see you. You need to be behind the pulpit. And he just began to pour into this guy's life. You know, and God began at that point to show me his heart, that Apostle has a heart for young ministers. He has a heart. That's the whole purpose of LTMA. And this was long before LTMA, but he's always had that heart and that desire to see young ministers grow up and be nurtured up properly. He told him, he says, "I'm not asking you, say, who are you affiliated with?" He mentioned some person, which I'll not say. And he said, "Well, I'm not telling you to change your affiliation." He says, "But if you get a chance, send me a resume. I'll send it to Greg. He'll give you a picture and just tell me what you know, right in there, what you've been doing with your ministry." You know, he said, and you're welcome to come to Glean from my ministry anytime you want to. You can come, you know, and sit in my ministry, you know. And getting back to knowing your apostle's heart, that showed me our man of God's heart. I'll never forget that. You know, the reason why all those other ministers, you know, big name ministers, most of them got, I'm not saying they got offended, I don't know. But most of them just got up and walked away. Instead of listening, the one that was on the floor, he left, the other ones left. There was only two men who stayed. You know, one of them came with Apostle, the other one, him and his wife stayed. I mentioned his name, Joe Ripley and his wife. And I never forget Miss Ripley, she looked at me as Apostle was ministering to the young man. He says, "Is this your pastor?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "You're so blessed." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know. I thank you." And then Joe and his wife, they shook my hand and they stayed, you know. But I said all of that to say this, you know, you need to know your man of God's heart. You know, that showed me right there his heart. You know, another situation that showed me Apostle's heart is some 15, 16 years ago. I don't remember when it was. My wife and I, we had paid off our first house and we were completely out of debt. I came up here and I sold a seed and I said, "Apostle, I just want to let you know that I'm completely out of debt. I owe no man nothing. My house is paid for. My vehicles, everything paid for." I saw the expression on his face. Like, wow, awesome. And the first family was sitting right down the first row. I saw the expression. They were all excited. You know, showing, God was showing me the heart of the first family, the heart of the apostle, that this is what I want for my people. This is what I want. I want to see them come out of debt. I want to see, you know, all their needs met. I want to see them walk in opulence and in you know, in everything, you know. It's not enough just for me, but I won't bring my people up to bring heaven down to earth, that we're living in the days of Eden here. Amen. You know, okay, that's point number one. Know your, and you just ask God, say, Lord, show me his heart. And a lot of times when God shows you his heart, it could be what he's saying from the pulpit, but a lot of times it's what he actually demonstrates, what you can see that's nonverbal. You know, what I saw, you know, wasn't so much what he was preaching, but what he was living, you know, and that's so very important. All right, let's move on. Now, this second point may not necessarily seem as a positive, but you don't want this to happen in your life. And really, that first point, I had a scripture that went with it, Proverbs 4:20, you know, talking about the issues of life, you know, out of it flows the issue of life, you know. So knowing the apostle's heart, because out of his heart flows the issues of life. Amen. All right. So point number two is, listen up. Don't allow offenses to creep into your heart concerning the apostle. Don't get offended. You know, I mean, he'll say things from the pulpit sometimes that might rub you the wrong way, but that's just the Lord using him to kind of straighten out some of the kinks. That's you know, sometimes you have a hose, you're watering the grass, and you get some kinks in the hose, and the water ain't flowing properly. You know, but sometimes the Lord will use apostle to straighten out some kinks in your life, so that, you know, everything will flow like it's supposed to. You know, and but you don't want to be offended of that. Amen. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 13 and verse 57. Matthew's chapter 13 and verse 57. Amen. And we're going to see what happened with Jesus and how in his own hometown he couldn't do no mighty works because of their unbelief and how they were offended. And actually what I'm going to do to save time, I'm going to actually use this pen. It's easier with this pen. My fingers are big. 13 and 50, actually 55. All right, I'm there. Good. 55. Go. All right. Okay, I'm going to read. This is from the Passion Bible again. It says, when Jesus arrived in his hometown of Nazareth, he began to teach the people in the synagogues. Everyone was dazzled, overwhelmed with astonishment over the depth of revelation that they were hearing. They said one to another, where did this man get such great wisdom and miraculous power? Isn't he just the craftsman or the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary and his four brothers, Jacob, Joseph, Simon, and Judah? And don't his sisters all live here in Nazareth? From where did he get all this revelation and power? Excuse me. And the people became offended. They became offended and began to turn against him. And this is what I like the way the Passion Bible says this. And Jesus said, there's only one place a prophet isn't honored, his own hometown. Don't let that happen to Word of Life. Don't let that happen to Daryl. Don't let that happen to Gonzalez. You know, don't let the one place that he's not honored is in his own hometown. You know, we have to let people know and let him know how much we appreciate him. I think that 1.6 million and a quarter had a lot to do with it, you know. But it goes on to say that, you know, and their unbelief kept him from doing many miraculous miracles in Nazareth. You know, we want that anointing. We want the portals of the supernatural to be open unto us, you know. So we can't let offense, you know, stop and plug and put kinks in the holes so that, you know, the full flow of the anointing, the full flow of what God wants to do in our lives is short circuited because of a kink in the hose. Amen. So, you know, don't allow offenses to come. Matter of fact, the scripture says you want to get it straight before the sun go down. You know, and that's with everything, because it will keep you from receiving God's best. Amen. All right, let's move on. Looking good. The third point is connection. You want to connect properly. You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be jokative or not, but there's different levels of connection. You have some people who connect on Sundays only. They connect on Sundays only, you know, and so they're going to get a Sundays only connection. You know, some people connect on Wednesdays only. They're going to get a Wednesday connection. But some people connect on Sundays and Wednesdays, and then you got those that's really committed. They connect on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And then those who are fully connected, every camp meeting, every winter, prosperity revival, whatever apostle is doing, and even if he's traveling to other places, if they can, they try to be there to connect. One of the best examples of connection in the Bible is found in 2 Kings 2. Let me see where I'm at. Yeah, 2 Kings 2 and 2. Let's go there right quick. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Kings 2 and 2 is talking about Elijah and Elijah. Elijah connected with his apostle, Elijah was a prophet. And he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. Now, when you look at it, it says, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, you know, his man of God, he says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And I'm not going to read. Thank you so much, sir. And then I'm not going to read everything, but I think the gist of it is right here. There was three separate places, you know. It's almost like Elijah was testing Elijah to see if he was going to stay, you know, to see how committed he was, you know, to almost like he was brushing him away, you know, tarry here, stay here. You know, the Lord has sent me. If the Lord sent you there, the Lord sending me there too. You know, that's the mindset you got to have. Matter of fact, I'll share something with you that I was connecting, but I wasn't watching close enough. Several years ago, Apostle was ministering with a prominent minister out of Atlanta. And he would, you know, every time he would have a meeting in Atlanta, Apostle was there. So guess who was there? I was there. You know, I would go, you know, I'd fly, drive, whatever it took. I would make the meetings, you know. And then Apostle was in I guess it was New York, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm calling you out of the big churches, and I want you just to minister into your son's churches, okay? And he never, as far as I know, the first time I heard it was maybe a year or two later, a couple of years later. So when the ministry in Atlanta was having a meeting, I just knew Apostle was going to be there, so I'm there. And I look around, I don't see Apostle. I'm saying, maybe he's running late, you know, I know he had something else to do. And so I would be there, but something began to happen because my man of God wasn't there. How can I say this? I had a lot of friends, people I had met who was, you know, part of the staff there, you know, and they would look at me and say, oh, you're back again. And they look at me and they says, I can see you becoming a son of Dr. So-and-so. And it kind of would rub me the wrong way, you know, and they would even tell me things like, hey, when you come back the next time, don't worry about getting a hotel. You can stay with us. You know, just all kind of favor. You know, I would go to a meeting. This one meeting, I was in Chicago. Me and my wife, we would sit like on the sixth or seventh row. And right after the praise and worship set started, and all the ministers in the front got their seats, this one usher, she would beckon me, and she would put me and my wife either the first or the second row. And that happened consecutively every time, you know. And so, you know, you're getting all this favor, and it kind of, you know, it kind of messes with the flesh a little bit. And I come to find out that one of my friends, that I was his wife, he had told his wife, you know, if there's a seat in up front, you know, set Brother Greg and his wife up there. But what had happened was, now I'm saying, Lord, are you calling me over here or what, you know? And I'll never forget, I was at one of the meetings, and one of the ministers there ministered from a book called You Have Not Many Fathers. And it's from a scripture in Corinthians. I don't remember which one it says. Though there be 10,000 instructors, yet there are not many fathers. You have not many fathers. You know, Paul says in the gospel, I have begotten thee. You know, so the Lord says, who was the man who called you and told you, you know, God has a call on your life? Dr. Thompson, who was the man who, you know, told you, you know, I want you to start going into the prisons? Dr. Thompson, who was the one who nurtured you, you know? And I'm sitting here at this meeting with tears in my eyes. I'm on the first row crying, just bawling, because I'm somewhere and my man of God was not. I mean, it dawned on me. I said, I'm way off base. I wasn't in the natural. I was, you know, getting the word. I mean, but I wasn't where I needed to be. I wasn't where God, you know, assigned me. You know, when I came to Word of Life, I never forget that day. I'm sitting in the old church, the second sanctuary. There was poles in the center to keep the roof from falling, because I think when they first started building it, it collapsed. So they had these metal, poles holding it up, you know, as extra support. And Apostle was ministering, and all of a sudden I heard what I thought was the man behind me said, "This is where you need to be." I turned around to see what the guy behind me, why he said that. And it wasn't him. It was God speaking to me. And I said, "Oh, Lord, that's you." And so when I got home, I told my wife, I said, "The Lord told me that, you know, we need to change our membership to Word of Life." She says, "I know. I've been waiting on you." Praise God. Thank God for a faithful wife. When the Lord called my wife to me, I'm not going to say a whole lot, Robin, but he told me, she was talking about her experiences with God. We can't wait to pick her up from a bus station when we were at students at Southern. She came to a graduation. My friend asked me, says, "Come ride with me. I'm going to pick up Robin Russell from the bus station." I said, "You going to pick up who?" He said, "Robin Russell." I said, I ain't coming with you. And then all of a sudden, the God spoke to me. Lord said, "Go with him." I said, "Okay, I'll come with you." But anyway, she started, you know, I thought she was going to start talking about her experiences at her co-op working on F-16 fighter jets and you know, all this big to do. But she started talking about her experience with God, you know, because I had prayed a semester before that. I said, "Lord, I thank you for a godly woman that love you, that serve you, and that's going to, you know, honor me, and that, you know, we could share that somebody that's on the same spiritual level with me." And while she was talking, the Lord says, "Have you considered my faithful servant Robin?" I said, "No, Lord, I hadn't. Am I supposed to?" And, you know, that was it. You know, we've been together for 43 years, going on 44 years, you know, and God has blessed us. Amen. You know, but I'm getting way off track, you know, but connection, you know, when I was there, after that meeting, I left. And I came and I called the office. I said, "I need to schedule a meeting with Apostle." And so he and I were sitting in his office back there. I said, "Apostle, you know, I had been going to a lot of, you know, the meetings that you were going to with the minister in Atlanta." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, and then I noticed the last three or four times, you know, you weren't there. And it just didn't seem right. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, "I needed to connect properly with you." You know, and so I said, I'm just wanting to let you know that I'm submitting to you as a spiritual son, and I'm going to follow you. You know, if you ain't there, I ain't there. You know, and since then it's been that way. If Apostle don't show up at a meeting, guess who ain't going to be there? I ain't going to be there. You know, because it's very important to connect properly. And it's not that going to other meetings is good or bad, but you're hearing a different doctrine, a different theology. And not everybody, not every minister is on the same level. Different camps have different assignments. Apostles' assignment is money coming to the body of Christ, healing coming to the body of Christ, you know, and that's the assignment God has called me to. You know, so I need to be exposed to what God is doing in my man or God's life. And it's so important to connect properly. You know, like I said, there are different forms of connection or different levels of connection. And you got to make determination how connected you want to be, you know, because that level of connection will determine the level of word and anointing and revelation you're going to receive, the level of blessings you're going to receive, because connection is everything. Don't let distractions keep you from connecting improperly. Don't let family, don't let friends, don't let your job, don't let nothing keep you from connecting. Even when I was working, I was thinking today, how long have I been retired? You know, and shoot, in November, it'll be 8 years. I had no idea I'd been retired that long. But it don't seem like it because I've been busy doing the work of the Lord. So, you know, but anyway, I'm trying to think the point I wanted to bring out when I said that. When I was on the job, I had what, 6 weeks vacation. I would set aside 2 weeks just for ministry. In other words, if I get a call like I did Monday, you got it Wednesday. If I was at working, I'd call my job. I'm taking an emergency vacation for Wednesday. I won't be in. Because I didn't want the job to interfere with me getting ready for this assignment. You know, if Apostle decided he's going on a meeting somewhere, I need 3 days off. I'm going to be out of town. I'm taking vacation. So I always set aside about 2 weeks just for ministry purposes. I had six, so 4 was I can take my family places and do whatever I wanted to do with those 4. But 2 of those weeks, you know, and by the end of the year, I had to take a certain percentage. You know, I would take off most time the whole month of December. So if he was doing something that December, I was off anyway, so it didn't matter. But connecting properly is so very important. All right, connection is everything. Just like a branch is connected to a tree, the trunk of a tree, and the same sap that's in the tree trunk flows to every branch. So all the branches get equal nourishment. Amen. Because they're connected. You know, I got a lot of trees in my backyard, and every now and then when the big wind come, a few of those branches fall and fall to the ground. And the day they fall, the leaves are just as pretty as the leaves of the ones that's in the tree. But another day or two, you look at them leaves, they start to wither. Why? Because they got disconnected from the life source, which was the trunk. You know, you don't want to get disconnected from your life source. You know, you want to stay connected. And the good thing about it is, but it's deceitful. If you think about it, people who disconnect, they might be able to go for years, you know, off of the fuel they got from here. You know, but all of a sudden, because you're not getting refuel, you're not getting that fresh anointing, that new revelation. You know, you're not going to the prayer meetings and being around other people. In a bad spot, right? Being around other believers, that power and that anointing starts to wane, you know. And you think you still got it, but you ain't got much because you're disconnected. You know, I've seen it. There are people. I ask them, you know, if I see somebody who left and they left wrong, one of the first, and especially if I knew they were a minister, I said, "Have you been doing any ministering since you left Word of Life?" They put their head down. Mm-mm. And I've seen a minister. They were anointed. They had an anointing on their life that I almost was envious of, you know. But they disconnected. I'm saying, man, don't you know what you did? You know, you know, there's a brook that God has for everybody, and that brook, water is flowing, nourishment is there. You know, you need to find your brook and stick with it. You know, God set Apostle here for a specific assignment, and he called people to help him to fulfill that assignment. So we need to be here to fulfill the assignment that God has called us to and stay connected. Amen. Okay, enough on that one. Number four, obey apostolic instructions closely. Obey apostolic instructions closely. It's so very important that we obey the instructions apostle gives from this pulpit. You know, don't take it lightly. And the scripture reference to that, I may go to it, I may not, is in Joshua 6 and 4. And this is where God had commanded Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho. The first command that God gave them, Joshua, was to march around it one time. Now, let's just kind of put this in today's vernacular. Say apostle came here and says, God told us he's going to give us a particular territory. And I'm instead of saying the whole city of Gonzales, I'm going to just say the Tanger Mall, because that's not quite as big to walk around. And suppose he tell us all, I want y'all to meet me at a certain time. We're going to march around the Tanger Mall one time every day. So we march around it, you know, that's a nice little walk, you know. And then, okay, everybody get in your car, go home, see you back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So we do that 6 days in a row. Think about that, you know, the effort it would take to do that, you know. And then on the seventh day, he tells the, you know, the priests and the trumpeters and with the ram's horn and to go before him. And he said, we're going to march around the Tanger Mall 7 times. Seven. And on that seventh time, I want the horns to blow and we're going to shout and the walls going to come down and that land is going to be ours. You know, how many people would do that? How many people you think would do that? Yeah, think about that, you know. But just like the Lord told Joshua and gave him specific instructions, a lot of times God tells the apostle and gives him specific instructions for us. You know, may not be that teetersome or that, you know, cumbersome, but he might tell us to do something. You know, it has the same relevance as what God told Joshua, the same relevance, because it's trying to get you to an expected end. It's trying to get you to where God wants you to be. You know, don't question it because you don't understand it with your finite mind. Just obey. Obey. That's so very important. Obey and yield to what God is telling your man of God, because he's trying to get you somewhere. You know, he might say, turn around 3 times and you turn around twice. You know, why? You know. And that third time, your breakthrough might have been there. You know, what you've been believing God might have been waiting at the door. You know, like I said, apostle establishes government. Apostle opens the portals of heaven and the supernatural. You know, said all that enter in. And a lot of times us entering in is us obeying his voice, obeying his commands, and not questioning it, but doing what he says to do so that we can get our breakthrough. Amen. You know, that's, you know, like I said, everything I'm talking about has to do with, partaking or sharing in and receiving from the apostolic grace that's on his life. You know, if you do these things, it's going to help you partake of and receive the grace that's on his life. God had told Joshua, says, everything that I commanded my servant Moses to do, I want you to do. You know, so everything the Lord tells apostle he wants us to do, we need to do. Amen. All right, let me move on. Number five. This is an important one. And it probably could have been higher. I don't have them in a order of importance because they're all important. Sow honor seeds into the apostle's life often. In other words, sow monetary, you know, blessing like we did Thursday. You know, every time you come to church, every time I see apostle, you know, I try to have a prepared seed ready. A prepared seed. You know, Dr. Phil, I watched him from a distance, but he taught me so much. He said, you know, in the morning, sow the seed. You know, in the noontime, sow another seed. And if I see him at night, in the evening, I got another seed. You know, you just sow and sow some more. You know, sow and grow rich. You know, and I can attest to the fact that if you continue to sow seeds, God will bless you. God will bless you. Like I said, I'll be 8 years retired. I ain't thinking about working. That ain't never occurred to me to go back to work. That's not a bad word, but you know, don't mess with me talking about work. I just, you know, it ain't happening. You know, why? You know, not a secular job anyway. You know, I live off my seed. Praise God. I live off the sea, you know, and God blesses us, you know, abundantly. But it's because of the connection. It's because of everything I was sharing. I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I would use you as an example, but I don't know you that well, everything that you did, but I know what I did. And all I can say is what I did. Amen. You know, you want to sow often into your man of God. Philippians 4, 15 and 19. I think I wanted to read that from the message. Not the message, but the passion. Amen. Give me a second. All right. I need to go to the New Testament. Get my pen. Matthew's and Philippians 4 and I think it was 15 I wanted to get to. Amen. All right, somebody else preaching. Amen. As long as it's the word, I ain't got no problem with it. Okay. In Philippians 4 and 15, this is Paul speaking. He says, "So I want you to know that the Philippians church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out preaching the gospel. You were the only church that sold into me financially, the Philippians. And when I was there in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year." He says, "I mentioned this not because I'm requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward." Okay, he says, I now have all I need, more than enough. That sounds like apostle. I'm abundantly satisfied. Sound like apostle. I have received the gift you sent from Epaphroditus and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice, perfume with the fragrance of faithfulness, which is so pleasing to God. And then he says in verse 19, I like this. I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of the glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. So here he's saying that, you know, I'm convinced that God's going to satisfy every need. You know, the King James says, "But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, sowing seed, you know, all your needs going to be met. Amen. All your needs going to be met. I'm not just saying this because I hear apostles say it. I'm experiencing it. All my needs being met. Amen. Amen. And I can't but honor God and thank God for my apostle. You know, because those principles he taught, you know, the first time he taught money coming, I was at the church. So 2 weeks he taught it, you know, I was there every session. I was at the meeting in Tulsa on a Tuesday, when Kenneth Hagin says, Kenneth Hagin Jr. said, "We're gonna have a young minister from Darrell, Louisiana, whose church is three times bigger than the city on a Sunday. It swells up, you know. He's gonna be ministering on Tuesday." And then when the apostle got up, he said, "This is gonna be the largest offering ever in camp meeting on a Tuesday." It's a bold statement. It's a bold statement, you know. And sure enough, it was the largest offering at that time ever on a Tuesday. This was the first time I had ever witnessed, and I think to my knowledge it had ever happened, where people was bringing money to the altar, you know. So, I mean, I was there at the initial outpouring of money coming. You know, I was taking pictures. I had my camera and I was taking pictures of the event. And I remember giving it to him, you know, but, you know, and I never forget the next day he was walking into the convention center from the little breezeway between the hotel and the convention center. And I met him and I looked at him. I said, "Apostle," I said, "Word of Life just got introduced. The world just got introduced to Word of Life." And he answered my question, but he answered it 4 or 5 levels above my head. And he said, "Yeah, Greg, I just feel like God is going to hook me up with Kenneth Copeland. I'm going to be, you know, ministering with Kenneth Copeland." And I'm thinking, do Kenneth Copeland know Apostle? Do Ken Copeland know Dr. Thompson? At that time, I don't know if he did or not. I don't know, you know, because, I mean, the biggest stage at that time he ministered at was camp meeting, you know. But 2 years later, Kenneth Copeland came on this pulpit, cut covenant with pastor. I never forget that. He sold in the apostle, and he wanted apostle to come and start teaching money coming to his congregation at Eagle Mountain. And for 30 days, it was the 30 days of glory, apostle would go and minister for Kenneth Copeland. And then years after that, he would be on the Believer's Voice of Victory every first of the year for the whole month of January. But I remember when after that day in Tulsa, and he said, I just feel God's going to. And I'm saying, yeah, Pastor. But little did I know, God spoke to him and it came to pass. You know, I've seen stuff like that. So it's hard for me to, not to connect. Because I mean, God has blessed me to see things that I'm saying, Lord Jesus, you know, to see the ministry grow to being a worldwide ministry, from being a local ministry down the street in the city of Darrow to now, he said, it's going to come to a point, we used to pray this, that they'll come from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. When they get off the airplanes, they're going to be one asking where Darrow is. We had a couple at our house Saturday, and they were talking, and somebody was mentioning, where is Darrow? You know, but guess what? Everybody know where Darrow is now. Why? Because of our man of God. Because of a man that's after God's own heart. You know, that's why it's so important to connect properly, because everything that God is blessing him with, he wants to bless us with. You know, all we got to do is connect properly. 10 minutes and 29 seconds. I'm doing good. Amen. All right. So connection is so very important. Let's see. We were talking about sowing seed we talked about that. All right. Number six, connecting properly to the apostolic agenda. That's when you say agenda, you're talking about his assignment, what God's called him to do. You know, you want to connect, but you also want to connect to the agenda of money coming, the agenda of healing and health coming to the body of Christ. You want to connect to everything that God has graced him with. You know, you want to connect properly. And don't have a hidden agenda. You know, some people, now, lately, I have to admit, I haven't seen hardly anybody come here with a hidden agenda anymore. I think they know to stay away. But at one time, we used to have people, and Bernard could testify, they would come here with a hidden agenda. Larry could testify, you know, just they had their own agenda, you know. And, you know, we had to, you know, talk to them, you know, take them over to the side, say, no, you ain't doing this here. This ain't happening here, you know. But this past camp meeting, I walk around, I would pray. I didn't sense nobody had a hidden agenda. You know, I think God had the right people. The right remnant was here. You know, and everything was sweatless. The ministers could flow freely. The word came out with boldness and power. You know, everybody was receiving. You know, I'm amazed. But here again, I'm going back to my stories. But God told me he would give me a platform to share certain things. So I'm using my platform. I never forget this one of the camp meetings in Tulsa I went to. And at the end of the camp meeting, they were breaking down. They had a bookstore area. They had a children's area, a youth area, just like we have here. No different, you know. It's almost like it's a blueprint of what was in Tulsa. God told me, he said, son, look around. Look how everything is set up here. You know, the speakers, the youth ministry. Remember Leroy Jr., he was part of the youth ministry. I remember I went into the youth ministry one day just peeping. They were all pretty much on the floor, just slain in the spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was just as powerful as the meetings that Kenneth Hagin was ministering. You know, but that anointing was all over that whole Tulsa Convention Center. The Lord told me, he said, look around. He said, what you see here in Tulsa, I'm going to duplicate that in Darrow. And I see it manifesting, and it's just mind-boggling to see people come from all over the country and other foreign countries, you know, people online. I'm not going to forget you online people. You know, you're a part of this too. You are very, I see you. Yeah. Amen. You're a part of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that our man of God has is for all those who are connected. That's a good thing about technology. There's no distance in the spirit. There's no distance because of the technology. You know, we can all partake of. I see Kelly Michelle Jones. phone. She stayed over for a couple of days, but you know, she's an online member. Connected. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, like, no hidden agendas. I remember we used to pray a prayer, expose, reveal, remove, and replace. You know, and we prayed that enough that people got exposed, they got revealed, they got removed, and God replaced them with better people. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, hey, it is what it is. Glory to God. All right. Number seven. I'm doing well. And this is something, you know, we do this faithfully. But even in your private prayer times, pray for apostle often that God's will be done in his life. You know, you need to undergird your man of God with prayer. That's so, so very important. Ephesians 1:15. I probably don't have time to go, because we read the scriptures all the time and we pray it, you know, but, you know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto him the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge, you know, that Christ may dwell in his heart by faith, that he be rooted and grounded in love, you know, that he may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. You know, you're praying that over our man of God, you know, often, you never want to start any spiritual endeavor that you can't first blanket with prayer. And I mean, that's why Apostle pushes prayer so hard. You know, I don't see enough people on Thursday. You see, that's another thing. Some people, they connect, but they don't connect on Thursdays, you know, because they don't see prayer as being a vital part of this ministry. Prayer is what's got this ministry where it's at today. You know, it's important, because you're pushing back the forces of darkness and you're allowing the supernatural to flow freely. Amen. When you pray. Amen. I'll share this illustration. I got time. That was a book that I read by a minister, Terry Law. And I shared this before, but it bears repetition. He was witnessing. This was between Chile and Argentina. And apparently the borders run. You know, you got Chile, you got Argentina in South America. And just so happened in this particular city, the geographical border between Chile and Argentina was right down the main street of this town. And so that morning he was witnessing the people on, let's just say, the Chile side. They was receiving the word with gladness. A few people got saved, and, you know, he was rejoicing. So I think he went and got something to eat. So that evening he said, I'm going to work the other side of the street, not knowing he was in another country. So he started witnessing the people, and they refused, and, you know, was, you know, just gasping, and, you know, they didn't want to hear it, and he couldn't figure out. He said, earlier today everybody was receiving, but now nobody was doing. And he saw one lady who had witnessed to it. So I remember witnessing to her, so I know she gonna have it, you know. So he said, and even she got a little nasty with him. And he found out later on that evening that the people over here, say on the Chile side, they had been praying for revival. They had been praying and breaking down the strongholds of the demonic forces that was over their country, so that the word of God can go freely. And guess what happened? So when now he's ministering there, he had free course, because the force of the darkness was pushed back, and it was pushed back right across the street. And because they weren't praying for the other country, that's how important prayer is. You know, it'll go right up to the geographical borders of the areas that you pray for. You know, so don't tell me prayer ain't important, because it is. You know, it's a vital part of the ministry. Amen. A vital part of the ministry. So be here on Thursday tomorrow. Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, I'm going to say this, you know, a lot of times, and I know some of my Wednesday crowd probably watch it online, because we don't have the full crew on Wednesday. You know, people know when apostle not going to be here, you know. But I'm going to say this, and I don't mean no disrespect. That's a sign of immaturity. You know, because Brother Ronald could be ministering. Brother Ledoux could be ministering. Brother Larry could be ministering. You know, we've been sitting on the apostle. Brother Ronald been sitting on the apostle longer than me. You know, I think Brother Larry too. Probably Ledoux. You know, so we got enough of him in us that we could carry on, you know, when he's not here, and keep the flame going, you know. I mean, hey, and it's, you know, it's just a sign of immaturity, because, you know, it's how can I say this? No, we're all in this together. We're one man. And if you're one man, it don't matter. You know, when we go to prison ministry, I was just excited when Brother Ledoux ministered or Brother John ministered, you know, because, you know, we're in this together. You know, you got to function as one man. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see the other Wednesday crowd next Wednesday when Apostle probably be here. But hey, it is what it is. But, you know, you want to connect properly. You want to connect properly. That's all I'm saying. You know, if you're in it to win it, in it to do what you got to do. Amen. All right. I got 1 minute and 41 seconds. Man, I tell you, sometimes I think they'd be playing with that clock. My last one, and I ain't got time to hit it, but listen and obey the inward voice of the Holy Spirit for instructions concerning the apostolic. It's so very important to hear. You know, I don't have time to even look at it on my Kindle in a passion, but it talks about, you know, mature Christians. It says mature Christians know how to hear the voice of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It says mature Christians are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. That's how it says it in the passion. If it's a sign of maturity when you are led by the Spirit of God and know how to hear the voice of God and instantly obey. You know, partial obedience is disobedience. You know, delayed obedience is disobedience. God wants you to hear his voice and obey. It could be the difference between life and death. I remember one time my wife and I, we were driving to Biloxi, and I was doing about 75, between 75 and 80. It was on a Sunday. I was going a little too fast. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and says, slow down, slow down. So I hit the brake. I slowed down about 20, 25 miles. And no sooner as I slowed down, I had a blowout. But I was able to control a car, pull over to the side, change the flat. If I was doing 80 with a blowout, that car might have flipped. You know, I had my daughter. She was maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. You know, it could have been catastrophic. You know, but it's instantly obeying the voice of God. Instantly. You know, and that's so very important. 1002, 1001. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.